Psalm chapter 30, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing to thee and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. A number of years ago, before the Moravian missionaries really got strong and really went out, two young Moravian missionaries in their 20s had heard about an island in the Atlantic where some 2,000 to 3,000 slaves had been taken by an atheist British owner. Been taken there to work, and there's one thing about atheism, they want everybody to not believe. It is important to them that other people don't believe. And he had made a determination that God's word would never be brought to this island of slaves. Two young Moravian boys in their 20s heard of these people and decided they were going to sell themselves into lifetime slavery. So they did. They sold themselves into lifetime slavery. As the ship was leaving the pier there, and the gap between the people and the ship was widening, and these two young Moravians were leaving forever, their families there thinking, what are you doing? What are you doing? And as the gap widened, and the two young Moravian missionaries with their arms in each other answered that question. They said that the lamb that was slain should receive the reward of his suffering. That the lamb that was slain should receive the reward of his suffering. What is the reward of his suffering? It's you and I, isn't it? It's redemption for mankind. That was the reward of his suffering. It was nothing for him. He was not going to benefit. We were going to benefit. He was going to make man right with God. And these two young Moravian men had realized that Jesus Christ is worthy of their entire life. Of their entire life. As we continue in our series, The Glory That's Due Unto His Name, Revelation 4:11 tells us that thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure we are and were created. We were created to bring glory to God. That's why we were created, to bring glory to God. As we do that, and as we live our lives as Christians in this world, heavy times will come. Those people standing on the pier that day, their hearts were heavy. They were losing their friends forever, or at least on this earth, they were losing them. But there's one thing about serving the Lord, he brings joy, even in our hard times. Even in our hard times, he brings joy. Even in the valley, God is good. Even in the valley, God is good. What a blessing. Even in the valley, God is good. God is with us. Even in those dark times, God is with us. The earth today, mankind everywhere is looking for joy. They're looking for happiness. They're looking inside a bottle. They're looking in pills. They're looking many places. They're looking on the internet. And they're not finding joy, because joy, of course, only comes through when we offer our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's when joy comes. What the missionary say last week, when God's glory becomes our joy. That's when our heart is where it ought to be, when glorifying God becomes our joy. In your lessons, on lesson six, aims for our lesson today to be reminded that Jesus Christ has promised to provide joy to those who truly are following after him, and to praise the Lord for his protection as he brings us through trying times in our lives, then to realize that our earthly trials will not last forever, then to seek the Lord and desire his favor and blessing on our lives, then finally to take courage and to believe by faith that joy cometh in the morning. Joy cometh in the morning. We can look back through our lives and we can see times when it looked very dark and it looked very hard. And we thought, Lord, how are we ever going to get through this? And yet joy came in the morning. Why? Because God has promised it. And we've seen many times, we've seen that joy come. We have that promise of the future. When hard times will come, there's joy. There's joy. We offer our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ as a living sacrifice. Why? Because the lamb that was slain should receive the reward of his suffering. He should receive a life dedicated to him. Following along in your lesson, the Lord Jesus Christ has promised to provide joy to those who are truly his followers. He's promised to provide that joy. You have many times where you can remember where God was faithful and God brought joy. And we can remember back to those dark times where we thought, Lord, where is this all going to end? Where is this all going to end? It's not going to end good. And yet we've seen the Lord be faithful, haven't we? We've seen the Lord be faithful. We pass through nights of earthly trials, and we find that indeed his joy cometh in the morning. Cometh in the morning. He brings his joy. In John, would you write this down in your lesson? John 15:11 and John 16:33. John 15:11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. The Lord Jesus here telling us. And then in John 16:33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world, the Lord says. We have that promise of joy there in John 15:11 and John 16:33 as well. Phrase that we've heard many times, this too shall pass. How many of you have ever heard that phrase, this too shall pass? That helps us, doesn't it? Where does that come from? It comes from that joy will come in the morning. Joy cometh in the morning. Joy cometh in the morning. Abraham Lincoln had that phrase up on a plaque on his wall. He had gotten it from a king from many years earlier that had gotten with his subjects and said, you know, there's a lot of cares in the kingdom that pull me down. And he got with his wise men. He said, what truth can I have? And one of the wise men made him up a ring. And on it it said, this too shall pass. you'll get through this. The truth as Christians is that joy cometh in the morning. Where does it come from? The Lord. Does it come because of who we are? No. It comes because of who he is. Joy cometh in the morning. As we've read the 30th Psalm, we notice in verse 5, look with me at verse 5, for his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. If we could find every discouraged person and every person who thinks that life is not worth living, and we could tell each one of them that the chapter that they are presently in does not have to be the last chapter of their lives. How many of you know somebody that's committed suicide? A lot of people, okay. I work in a shop around a lot of people, a lot of Christians. And yet you hear someday that they're not with us anymore. They took their own life. It got too dark that night. They could not see the joy that was coming in the morning. We've got to remember that joy. That joy is indeed coming in the morning. We have to remember that. We can't lose sight of that. And there are many reasons people commit suicide. They get on medications that get them out of whack and they can't think clearly. There's many reasons that people do that. But we need to encourage ourselves. We need to encourage each other in the Lord. The joy is coming in the morning, no matter what you may be going through. Some folks told me of some things they were going through that was real heavy on them. And their hearts were really heavy. And this week, they saw the joy that came in the morning when God answered prayer. When God answered prayer. And I'm sure that we have those as well. For you, if you're in a dark time of your life, this doesn't have to be the last chapter. There can still be many more. Jesus Christ will bring the joy that you need. He'll bring the joy that you need. We've got to tell each other. There is a way, following along in your lessons. Joy cometh in the morning. Joy cometh in the morning. The faith life knows that joy cometh in the morning. When we're walking by faith, when we're living this Christian life as we should, and we're walking in the Lord, and we're trusting Him, and we're trusting Him for each day, that's living the faith life. And the faith life knows that joy cometh in the morning. If you have known the joy and the blessings of the Lord in the past, but do not know His blessings in favor now, this psalm teaches that His joy can return. In the time of heavy burden, it is not a burden. It is not burdens that take our joy away. It is the fact that we think God's face has turned from us. Will God's face ever turn from you and I? Absolutely not. Will God turn His face from our sin? Absolutely so. But He will never turn His face away from us. He'll never turn His face away from us. It's not the burdens that take away our joy. It is the fact that we think God's face has turned away from us. And any time we're not looking face to face with God, it is not because He's turned, is it? Who's done the turning? We have. Take hope. When we are back in His favor, He brings gladness in our hearts once again. Our God protects. Every man who has experienced God's blessing in his life has a story to tell and should be telling it. We all have a story to tell. We all have a salvation experience. We all have previous lives that the Lord delivered us from to His glory. Do we discuss as we give our testimonies our previous lives? No, we don't, because they don't bring glory to the Lord. I think over the years I've heard people in their testimonies that would almost glorify their sin and talk about it a lot. And then at the end say, then the Lord saved me. But that's not what our testimony is. Our testimony is, yes, indeed, our ship was sailing the wrong way and indeed may have been ready to crash on the rocks and be destroyed. But our testimony is that God reached in and made a difference. And he set us sailing in the way that we should be going. Ephesians 5:12 tells us that it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. There's many things that we don't repeat that happen in our lives. Why? Because it's not to the glory of God. What is the story that we tell to people that God came in and rescued us from the pits of hell and set our feet on a firm rock? That's the story that we tell them. We all have a story to tell. Each one of our stories is different. But it all has to do with our life of destruction, the Lord Jesus Christ and his forgiveness. That's the same story. Thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. Because of the spirit of the age in which we live, there are people who delight to see any good man or any good woman fall. People who live for God become targets for those who do not. We become targets. At work, if you do something wrong, they'll sure tell you, but yet it seems to be okay for them to do it. But they sure know where you should be. We become targets. And that's fine because they need to look at us, because the only Jesus they're going to see is through us. They're not going to read their Bibles. They're not going to sit down and turn on the television to preaching. They're going to go the wrong way. The Bible says that the last days will be characterized by despisers of those that are good. Despisers of those that are good. In 2 Timothy 3:3 says that, we know that the Lord Jesus himself was hated without a cause. John 15:25 says they hated me without a cause. David rejoiced because the Lord did not allow his enemies to rejoice over him. Not only does our God protect, our God heals. Our God heals. Physically, our God heals. Mentally, he can bring us out of the distress that we're in. He can bring us through, excuse me, he can bring us through the distress that we're in. He'll bring us through it. He'll make us safe. He'll make us prosperous. Our God heals. David says here in verse 2, O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. What a blessing. We can cry to the Lord, and that he will indeed heal us. Verse 2. We pray for great healing in desperate situations. Last Sunday night, I don't know what the medical term is, we lost a grandchild that was probably only a month along. Our daughter had lost a lot of blood, and it was we were very concerned. But you know, the darkness went away, and the joy came in the morning when she was okay, and surgery was done, and now she's home, and everything's fine. But those dark times come, and we've got to go to the Lord through those times. And we've got to remember that the joy will come in the morning. We pray for great healing. When we got the phone call, we came out, we asked Pastor to pray. Pastor, would you pray with us? Would you pray with us? What a wonderful pastor we have here. Amen? He'll take that time right then, and he'll pray with you, and it's not just to appease you, but it's to make a difference in your life because he loves us. I'm thankful for our pastor. We pray for great healing, and God gives it. And God gives it. But we also need to praise God. When we recover from a common cold, we should thank the Lord. When we have a scratch or wound and it is healed properly. The idea is that we should always look to the Lord. Our tendency is not to look to the Lord until we're in destruction. We don't look ahead of time. We tend to wait until, oh no, now what am I going to do? And the Lord is certainly always there to pick us up as we fall and pick us up as we stumble. Because all of us will stumble. All of us do fall. But the Lord Jesus Christ is there to pick us up and to restore that joy. The Lord healed David. Are you praising God for his healing hand in your life? Are you even noticing God's healing hand in your life? Then not only our God protects, our God heals, our God preserves. Our God preserves, and we should praise him. Verse 3, O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. God preserved our lives, didn't he? He preserved our lives from hell. He sent the Savior to be the propitiation for our sins, to make mine and your sin right, to make our lives right before God, to purge us of our sins and make us right before God. That I should not go down into the pit. There's a story to tell to the lost. There's a story to tell to each other. Once had a youth pastor in a church that would, as he worked with the teens, he'd have them learn each other's testimony instead of their own. And like I would stand up and say, Brother Kelly Dye was saved on this day at this age, and this was and they got to know each other and know their testimonies and understand where each other came from. What a concept. That I should not go down into the pit to know where we've come from. Every day, God's people should say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for what you've brought. Thank you for allowing us to live today. You've kept us alive. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for... Tell me, his name's sake. For his name's sake. Why? Because the glory that's due his name. For his name's sake. Is it because I'm a good guy and he should do that for me? No. It's because of who he is. Because he's a loving God. Because he's a tender and compassionate God. God preserves us for his glory. Hello? Brother Jerry, you don't have to call me now. Brother Jerry, it's a lesson for turn off your cell phones. Thank you for that, Jerry. That's a reminder. Sharon, how come Jerry's face is red? Is that why? All right, where were we before Jerry's phone rang? The psalmist continues in verse 4. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. What a mighty God we serve. When we open our mouths to sing, we are to sing unto the Lord. Psalm 105 in verse 2. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. His saints sing unto him. Our song to the Lord is prompted by gratitude and remembrance of his holiness. Then our God is present. Verse 5. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. God's anger endureth but a moment. We saw many times throughout Scripture when God was angry with his people. And he would do something to turn them and bring them back into the way. And his anger endured but for a moment. He put them back on the right path. And his anger was gone. and again found favor and joy in his grace. God does get angry, but he does not stay angry with us. There's a way his anger can be removed, and that is in his favor is life. In his favor is life. His anger is but for a moment, but in his favor is life. Life on this earth, and most of all, eternal life. John 10:10, you can write this in if you would, please. John 10:10, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. More abundantly. Jesus Christ came to give us life. The quality of our Christian life is determined by our nearness to God. Have you ever seen days where it seems like you're walking with the Lord and you're close with the Lord and you're thinking, man, I'm winning. We're getting this. And then sometime later you're going, man, what am I doing? I can't seem to get it. Brother Don, yeah. But God is still there. All we have to do is turn. The chapter we're in doesn't have to be our last chapter. It's a chapter of joy coming in the morning. In spite of these times where you're going, Lord, why isn't it going better? Why am I not praying like I need to honor you with? Why am I not reading my Bible? Why am I not walking in the Spirit? And we turn to him and he's there with open arms. The quality of a Christian life is determined by our nearness to God. Determined not to live in mediocrity. And you're here this morning. You got up an hour earlier than everybody else. So you've made a determination to not walk in mediocrity. You've made a determination that I'm going to do more. Live where God's light shines brightest. And that's in his favor. In his favor is life. Let us seek his favor. The worst thing in a Christian's life is to become content to live without God's favor and blessing. How horrible it is for Christians that can wake up, go through their entire day, and never, never spend any time with the Lord. Never interact with the Lord. Never call upon him. What a terrible place for a Christian to be. It should never be that way. When we wake up in the morning, it should be our first thought. Whether it be a memory verse that we went to bed with on our mind, whatever it may be, he should be our first thought. The cares of life will tend to take that away. That we won't wake up with that. We'll wake up with the cares on our minds. We need to look to him. David wanted to live in God's favor. Verse 7. Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. David wanted to live in God's favor. And then verse 9, what profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? He says, preserve my life so that I can praise you. So that I can praise you. Preserve my life so that I can praise you. Then verse 10. Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. And the Lord will indeed be our helper. Our God helps. Our God protects. Our God heals. Our God preserves. Our God is present. And then our God helps. Not because of who we are, not because of things that we've done, but because of his goodness, but because he is God. Verse 1, I will extol thee, O Lord. We will raise his name up. Why? Because he is worthy. Verse 1. And then verse 12, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee. And not be silent, O Lord my God. I will give thanks unto thee forever. Remember, it is not the burdens which we carry, which we are under, that take away our joy. It is a fact that we think God's face has turned from us, when indeed it certainly has not. His face is there. Joy cometh in the morning. We must live this faith life. It's a battle. It's not easy, but he's worthy. That the lamb that was slain should receive the reward of his suffering. And that's you and I. That's us living for him. Joy cometh in the morning. Thank the Lord for his word. All right, let's go through our questions now. Psalm 30 and verse 4, what prompts David to call upon the saints to sing to the Lord? Sing again. Psalm 30 and verse 4. Okay. Somebody just said it. The remembrance of his holiness. Yes. What does Psalm 30 and verse 5 teach us about the importance of having God's favor? In his favor is life. Joy cometh in the morning. John 15:11, John 16:24. I actually gave you John 16:33. What did the Lord Jesus promise that we would have in full? Joy. In full. Proverbs 22:1. According to this verse, what is more valuable than silver and gold? Loving favor. Very good. Psalm 30, verse 6 through 10. What did the Lord do that troubled David and caused him to cry out for mercy? Hid his face. Hid his face, and I was troubled. The Lord brings that trouble to restore us, doesn't he? Psalm 30, verse 11 through 12. What is the end result of God's answering David's prayer and restoring the gladness? Okay, that my glory may sing praise to thee, that our lives would lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you very much for coming today.